Greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show. I am Paula Gordon. If you think the English Civil War, the American Revolution, and the American Civil War are just history, think again. According to our guest, political analyst Kevin Phillips, each of these wars is a ladder to the next. Mr. Phillips has written a book about the three conflicts, which he calls the Cousins Wars. Together, these three wars set the context for what Mr. Phillips considers today's most important question. Can a mature society create mechanisms for people who disagree to let off steam when that society's middle class will not tolerate war? If the answer is going to be yes, Mr. Phillips would begin by getting people back into the political system that the Cousins Wars created.
What I would be very pleased by, if I knew that somehow or other turnout in the next 2, 4, 6 years was going to climb by 12, 15, 18 percentage points. We have, of the major nations, the lowest outside of India, and it has been declining, and especially among men. And I don't think very much is going to be fixed without a crisis that clarifies a lot of things that are now iffy and creates a sense of real need and desire to participate because of a sense of the stakes of participation.
Kevin Phillips is a political analyst and author whose 1969 book, The Emerging Republican Majority, won him instant recognition. He's written 8 other books since then, including The Politics of Rich and Poor and now The Cousins Wars. Mr. Phillips is a commentator for National Public Radio's Morning Edition. He's a contributing columnist for the Los Angeles Times, and he repeatedly has been a national elections commentator for CBS Television News. Bill Russell and I found Mr. Phillips' insights enormously important, and we wanted to know more. Kevin Phillips, we talk a lot about living in a time of great change. But I have the sense, in exploring some of the things that you think about, that to understand where we are and where we are going, we would do well to understand some of the places we have been as well.
I think that's really quite true. It's surprising how much we draw on that you can identify in ways and pathways it's taken before. It's not to say it isn't always changing, but people who think it's always new or that there is a new phenomenon ignore how much it has a context that goes back historically. I think that's true across the board.
I think context may be Bill's favorite word. I had an encounter with a map recently, and this is not irrelevant since you are a geopolitical thinker. We have a large map. It covers a wall. And as Bill went to mount it, instead of putting North and South America in the middle, where Americans at least are accustomed to seeing it, he followed the land mass. And on the left side is the west coast of Europe, and it goes across the land mass so that on the right side, well, what it does is it changes the way I think about the world. Isn't that kind of what you are doing, changing our orientation when you think about the Anglo-American experience?
You can really pick up on that and take it a notch further. I would say that, to me, it's no longer safe to look at American and British history separately, and that is the whole thrust of history departments on both sides of the Atlantic. They have a very minimal interlock, and after going through all of this over 4 centuries, I think it's a big mistake. I think you really have to look at the map differently. And the map that I look at, I guess, in my mind through these 4 centuries is a map in which these countries and geographic regions and religions and ethnic groups are overlapping.
Mm-hmm. Edward O. Wilson, among other things, criticizes the university for failing our society in a lot of ways. And I think of that because you have no business writing a history book. You're not a licensed historian. And you know, and I'm sure there are a lot of people who have taken exception to that, but what you have done is take a perspective that is certainly a legitimate perspective and reached back into history, and I think with some sense of putting us into context. How did we get to be who and what we are today? What does it mean? Is that a fair description of what you were doing? Or am I, have I created a new world for you?
No, I think that's some of what it turned out to be. That's certainly the reactions of some of the academicians. But I was basically trying to pursue politics back more than anything else. And I had written a book back in the 1960s called The Emerging Republican Majority. And in fact, it did come to pass that from 1968 to 92, we had Republicans in the White House for 20 out of 24 years. So I was getting bored in 1995, and I couldn't stand the people in the White House and on Capitol Hill, and I thought I'd do a little detour. But as I started thinking about writing something about the American Revolution, I found myself drawn into what I thought of as the three previous emerging Republican majorities, the one that was the Lincoln coalition in 1860, the one that was the emerging Republican small r of the American Republic coalition in 1775 and 76, and then going back to the English Civil War, which was the first Republican coalition of the English-speaking peoples, because that's the only English republic, the Commonwealth under Cromwell. And as I started to get into this, there was an immediate continuity for me based on that phenomenon. And because I came into it with a continuity, it developed all kinds of other continuities, and I had a peg for looking at them together that I think most people would not have had. So that was how I got into it.
This is Kevin Phillips. This is also the Paula Gordon Show. All three of us, Bill Russell, Kevin Phillips, and I, will be back shortly. Please be with us when we return.